Hello, and welcome to the podcast series, Israel's Divides Explained. This series focuses on the six major divides in Israel. The title of this podcast episode is The Assassination of Yitzhak Rabin, A Turning Point in Israeli-Palestinian Relations, and the Rise of Jewish Extremism. This episode focuses on the political divide in Israel. The political divide in Israel covers Zionism versus Judaism, state security and existence, political left versus political right, the Israeli-Arab conflict, and the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, etc. Some of these aspects of the political divide will be examined within this episode. This episode of the podcast series was produced in spring 2023 as part of the course Israel From Idea to Statehood with Professor Zeidan at the University of Kansas. I am your host, Dalton Ercolano. I'd like to introduce myself as a senior majoring in strategic communications via the University of Kansas's School of Journalism, and a history minor. I do not have any family ties to Israel. However, a few friends of mine from a Jewish summer camp I worked at currently reside in Israel. In addition, I am Roman Catholic, so Israel has some religious importance to me and my family. Ever since learning about Israel from my friends, I've been interested in the history and current status of the state. The topic I will be talking about is the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin in 1995 and how it contributed to the political divide in Israel. Yitzhak Rabin served as Israel's fifth prime minister and served two terms in office. His first term was from 1974 to 1977, and his second term was from 1992 until his assassination in 1995. Rabin was instrumental in negotiating for peace with the Palestinians. However, his assassination shocked Israel and created more tension within the state. The question I will answer in this episode is, how did the rise in Jewish extremism that led to the assassination of Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin decrease the chances of peace negotiations between the State of Israel and the Palestinian people? This question is important because ever since Prime Minister Rabin's assassination in 1995, tensions between Israel and the Palestinians have been growing exponentially. Protests and violence have continued to increase within the State of Israel, with no end to the conflict coming in the near future. In order to better understand the politics behind this deadly and complex conflict, we must explore and analyze how things took a turn for the worse following Prime Minister Rabin's assassination 28 years ago. The information here is based on a selection of primary and secondary sources. However, this is not an exhaustive survey. One of my major sources for this episode is an article by BBC Middle East editor Jeremy Bowen titled, Did the Rabin Assassination Kill the Best Chance for Peace? I will be posting my sources online. More details at the end of this episode. In our episode today, we will talk about four major items. Item 1 will be a short introduction to Israel. Item 2 will be an introduction to the six divides and the political divide in Israel. Item 3 will be the answer to my question, and item 4 will be about looking to the future. Before we start introducing the State of Israel, did you know that all Israeli citizens aged 21 and older are eligible to be elected to the Knesset as long as they don't hold an official position, have a criminal record, or have been ruled ineligible by a court? The youngest member to be elected to the Knesset was Stav Shefer in 2013. She was 27 years old. Now, this is quite young considering that in the United States, you must be 25 years old or older to serve in Congress and 30 years old or older in order to serve in the Senate. The State of Israel is a small country located in the Middle East. It is bordered by Egypt, Lebanon, Syria, and Jordan. The state is 8,522 square miles and has a population of about 9 million people. Israel was created on May 14, 1948, and was declared a Jewish state. Prior to this, Israel was called Palestine and was home to a variety of different ethnic groups such as Palestinians, Arabs, Jews, and many more. In Israel, there are six major divides. These divides are the national divide, the ethnic divide and socioeconomic divide, the religious divide and gender inequality divide, and the political divide. This podcast is about the last divide, which is the political divide. Before Israel became a state, It was under British rule via the British Mandate that was in place from 1918 to 1948 by the League of Nations following the end of World War I. What was formerly known as Palestine was controlled by Great Britain, and the High Commissioner was considered the government. Following the Holocaust and World War II, an influx of Jewish immigrants entered Palestine. Conflict between the immigrants and native Palestinian Arabs ensued, and the United Nations planned to partition Palestine into Jewish and Palestinian sectors in 1947. However, that plan was rejected. In May of 1948, Israel was officially declared an independent state. An example of the political divide from Israel's history is the First Intifada, which took place from 1987 to 1993. According to History.com, the First Intifada was a result of Israeli expansion into the West Bank and Gaza Strip, Israeli occupation of Palestinian territories, lack of political rights, high unemployment rates, economic hardships, and many more grievances from the Palestinians. The First Intifada ended with the signing of the Oslo Accords in 1993. In Israel, the political right wing believes in the sovereignty and safety of the state. They also support expansion into the West Bank and are against ceding land to the Palestinians. On the other hand, the political left wing is focused on resolving the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and are willing to compromise for a two-state solution. An interesting short story that demonstrates how serious and deadly the political divide has gotten in recent years comes from the Global Conflict Tracker. According to this source, the Israeli courts made a ruling in 2020 that several Palestinian families living in Sheikh Jarrah, a neighborhood in East Jerusalem, were to be evicted the following year. Their homes were then going to be given to Jewish families. As a result, protests and violence broke out between Israel and the Palestinians. The Israeli police used a combination of lethal and non-lethal forces against the Palestinian demonstrators and the militant group like Hamas. Hamas then responded with hundreds of rockets being fired into Israeli territory. The Israeli Defense Force, or IDF, then launched airstrikes and artillery bombardments into the Gaza Strip where Hamas and other militant groups are based. After several days of continuous violence, a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas was reached on May 21, 2021. Over 250 Palestinians were killed, with 2,000 others being wounded and at least 13 Israelis were killed as well. This 11-day conflict displaced over 72,000 Palestinians and resulted in tens of millions of dollars in damage. This is just one of many examples that demonstrates the magnitude of this conflict and how this conflict is getting worse and more damaging as the years progress. At this point in the podcast episode, we will begin answering my question, how did the rise in Jewish extremism that led to the assassination of Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin decrease the chances of peace negotiations between the State of Israel and the Palestinian people? Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin was a major supporter of negotiating peace with the Palestinians. According to the BBC, Rabin served as a leading commander in the Independence War from 1948 to 1949. He then served as the Chief of Staff in 1967, where he led the Israeli armed forces in their defeat of their Arab enemies. Rabin's successful military career garnered much support from the Israelis when it came to his talks about peace negotiations with the Palestinians. Rabin was a major supporter and proponent of the Oslo Peace Accords and cooperated with the Palestine Liberation Organization leader Yasser Arafat. In a speech from 1993, Rabin stated, "I, serial number 30743, Lieutenant General in the Reserves Yitzhak Rabin, a soldier in the Israeli Defense Forces and in the Army of Peace, I, who have sent armies into fire and soldiers to their death, say today, we sail onto a war which has no casualties, no wounded, no blood nor suffering. It is the only war which is a pleasure to participate in, the war for peace." Even though many Israelis supported Rabin and his efforts, there were growing tensions amongst many right-wing Jews. In 1995, a religious Jew named Yigal Amir shot and killed Rabin. According to the New York Times, this wasn't Amir's first attempt at killing Rabin. That same year, Amir had tried to kill Rabin three different times, once at Yad Vashem, another at Nof Yerushalayim Hotel, and a third at a ceremony in Kfar Shamar Yahu. Amir wanted to stop the Oslo Accords and believed that killing Rabin would achieve this goal. In addition, Amir didn't like Israel ceding land into land in the West Bank to the Palestinians because he believed that that land was given to the Jewish people as a gift from God. Even when Amir was arrested and charged with the murder of Rabin, he took great joy in his actions and asked for a glass of schnapps to toast to his completed objective. Many other Israeli right-wingers portrayed Rabin as a Nazi. The current Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, was a leader of the opposition at the time. He spoke at many anti-Rabin rallies and despised Rabin's actions. In addition, Palestinian extremists like Hamas conducted suicide bomb campaigns and other violent acts in protest against the Oslo Accords, despite the fact that mainstream Palestinians hoped for peace. The rise in Jewish extremism prior to Rabin's assassination in 1995 made peace negotiations between Israel and the Palestinians difficult, but not impossible. Prime Minister Rabin was looked at as the only prime minister who would be able to achieve peace with the Palestinians. As a result, he was killed. Following Rabin's death, there was a lot of public outcry from the Israeli people, and many of Rabin's supporters felt guilty for not defending their leader when the opposition criticized him for his peace negotiation efforts with Palestine. In addition, some of his supporters developed psychological issues as a result of Rabin's death. According to the peer-reviewed article, The Assassination of Yitzhak Rabin, Resonance of a National Tragedy in Psychotherapy, by Eli Sommer and Meir Saadon, some of the participants in their psychotherapy study developed psychological issues such as panic disorder with agoraphobia mild and personality disorder as a result of Rabin's death. In addition, some of their participants developed feelings of personal grief, aggressiveness, and other serious psychological disorders. This makes sense because many Israelis who were in favor of achieving peace with the Palestinians were now frightful and seriously concerned about their country's future and its relations with their Palestinian neighbors. Rabin was on the cusp of negotiating peace with the Palestinians through his increasing cooperation with Yasser Arafat, who was once his sworn enemy. Despite the fact that peace negotiation talks were behind schedule, it is believed that Arafat and Rabin would be able to make the improbable probable, thus making history and changing the course of Israeli-Palestinian relations. With Rabin out of the picture, Shimon Peres became the next prime minister of Israel. As a result, multiple careless mistakes were made and the suicide bombing campaigns from Hamas continued to increase. In 1996, people believed that Shimon Peres won the election over Benjamin Netanyahu. However, Netanyahu ended up winning, thus leading to a complete reverse in Israeli-Palestinian relations. According to The Guardian, for most of the last 25 years, the right and the center-right have been in power in Israel's government. This source states, at the last election, the once dominant Israeli Labor Party of Yitzhak Rabin garnered less than 6% of the vote and just 7 seats, thus showing how for the past couple of decades, the Labor Party in Israel has struggled to find an equivalent to Rabin and what he was able to offer. Now only the left is willing to talk about peace with the Palestinians, while the right continues to be unwilling to negotiate with the Palestinians. With Benjamin Netanyahu continuing to hold office and his right-wing Likud party continuing to dominate in the Knesset, the hopes for peace negotiations with the Palestinians continues to decrease with each passing year and election. Netanyahu once stated, "We're willing to make difficult and hard decisions and compromises to live in peace with our neighbors, but we're entitled to our own country where Jews from around the world can come here, just as Palestinians from around the world can come to the Palestinian state." As much as this seems like a positive thing to say, Netanyahu's unwillingness to fairly compromise with the Palestinians and their concerns over what territory a Palestinian state would encompass makes his words meaningless. Until Netanyahu is ready to change his ideals, or a leader from the left who aligns with Rabin's beliefs wins the election, Israeli-Palestinian relations may continue to worsen. The battle for peace between the two will continue to endure for years to come. Looking to the future, there is much uncertainty on how this conflict will end, if it ever ends. According to the UN, the international community's immediate priority in the occupied Palestinian territory must be reversing the trends that mark 2022 as one of the deadliest years in recent history. Many Israeli citizens and Palestinians believe that the conflict will continue unless the government and those in power begin to make compromises. They believe that unless this happens, the conflict will continue to worsen and more people will continue to be negatively impacted by this conflict. I personally agree with this sentiment. As I mentioned previously during this podcast episode, having a right-wing prime minister like Netanyahu in power doesn't help the conflict at all. It creates a further divide between the Israelis and Palestinians. As a result, I don't see an end to this conflict coming in the near future. I believe that tensions and conflict between the two parties will continue to increase in the oncoming years. When looking at the political divide in Israel in a global perspective, this divide is very similar to the ones we see in a few other countries. For example, we have the conflict in Northern Ireland, India versus Pakistan, Western Sahara, and many more examples. When there are political divides in countries where ethnic groups are clashing, it is never an easy fix. All of these examples from other countries are divides that continue to affect their countries to this day. I see the conflict in Israel to continue for the next couple of decades. Today we covered a short introduction to Israel, an introduction to the six divides and the political divide in Israel, the answer to my question, and what the future may hold for Israel and its relations with the Palestinians. In conclusion, with the assassination of Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin in 1996, peace negotiation efforts with the Palestinians took a turn for the worse. Rabin's assassination will go down as a historic assassination due to the magnitude of the consequences and repercussions it caused between Israel and the Palestinians. It severely changed the history of Israel and the way it is governed. I will be posting my sources for this episode online. Look at the online page where you are listening to this episode. I would like to extend much gratitude to the audience, guests, and others who may be listening to my podcast episode today. It has been a fun and educational journey for me to create this podcast, not only for my own learning, but for the learning of all who listen to it. The Israeli-Palestinian conflict is one that continues to affect the international community, and it is something that will continue to develop throughout the oncoming years. It is important to stay up to date with what is transpiring between the Israelis and Palestinians because it is more than just an internal issue. If you are interested in other episodes in this podcast series, Israel's Divides Explained, you can explore this podcast series website to listen to other podcasts related to the six divides in Israel. Until next time, Leit Trayot.